listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. This is the show where we never stop making growth, where we stop making excuses about creating the life we were born to live, the life that's available right now. I'm Kellen Flueckiger, your host, and today I'm talking about you. You're stuck because you choose to be. Ooh, now that might irritate you, and I don't really care. You choose to be. Now, you didn't choose all the things that happened to you. You didn't choose the weather or where you were born or any of that stuff. But stuckness is an internal circumstance that says, I can't do anything about where I am. I'm stuck because I choose to be. Now, most of us don't make that determination on purpose. We don't sit around and say, you know, I want to stay stuck. But we learn this mediocrity, we learn helplessness, and we learn to blame everybody and everything else. So here's the truth. This episode is not for the faint of heart. If this kind of conversation bothers you, turn it off, because I am going to talk to those of you who have had enough, who are tired of settling for mediocrity. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do or that you should do anything. What I'm illuminating for you is the possibility. You have a possibility you're not using. I know because I lived in that truth or falsehood, that fake truth in my head for decades. I don't anymore, and I've been working and succeeding about that with that for the last 18 years. I had some miraculous things happen in 2007 that woke me up. But you know what? This is 2025, and you can have a miraculous thing. This here right now, this is your invitation. If you've been waiting for a slap upside the head, if you've been waiting for an affirmation or an agreement or a declaration that you are powerful, you are capable, you are worth it, you are valuable, here it is. This is for you today, here, now. You matter. And you can have a big impact if you want to. If you want to choose a purpose, work on it, serve with your gifts and talents, and raise your voice. The world needs your voice, but it's not going to hear it if you're whispering in the corner. It's not going to hear it if you're blubbering in a pity party. So this is your invitation. This is your call. It's a possibility to create infinite worth, infinite power, infinite money. Like the idea that you can't have this, that, and the other, that's not true. One of my roles is I am dangerous to addiction to mediocrity. I'm dangerous to learned helplessness. I'm dangerous to anyone that's ever been told the lie, you're not enough. Not dangerous to the person, but to the lie, you're not enough, because you are. Like, you're a divine being. I don't know what you're doing with it, but you have that ability right here, right now. So knowing that this is not for the faint of heart, and knowing that you've decided to stay if you're here this long, let's get started. If you're tired of the same old stories, you know, it was an old REO Speedwagon song. If you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Well, let's do it right here, right now. This is your invitation. Turn some pages. We're not just talking about the problem today. One of the things that people do sometimes is they'll talk about a problem. Well, we all see the problem of divisiveness in the United States. Now, I live in Canada. That bitterness and anger and yelling and screaming and blaming everybody. But we don't see very many people choosing to do something about it, changing things positively and in a growth-oriented way. I'm not talking about hate, bitterness, viciousness, name. I'm not talking about any of that crap, either toward others or especially toward yourself. You're not going to get unstuck by yelling at yourself. You're not going to get unstuck by diminishing your value. You're not going to get unstuck by creating negativity in your life, by singing that soul old song, I'm not good enough. That isn't going to help you, I promise. So if you're ready, let's get started, because we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to identify it, we name it, and then we're going to burn it down. It's time. Today is your calling. So I'm stuck. It's a dangerous illusion. And it may be the most dangerous illusion of all, because there's plenty of things going on around us. Elections, laws, governments, conflicts, illness, wars, plenty of things that you and I don't control. And with 24-hour news, social media, and everything else, we are constantly invited to focus on the stuff we can't control. Because we can't control it, it's frustrating, irritating, right? You know that. I know that. So you yell or scream at the news, whoever your news station is. You yell and scream at the other guy, whoever they've demonized. Well, you and I both know the news is garbage. Even if it's reporting partial or complete factual things, it's done so with a spin designed to stir up anxiety, cause hatred, and make you yell at something you can't control. And they win all the time because you can't control, so nothing changes. Wow. Talk about a racket. So this is where you choose your sovereignty to own your life and to exercise sovereign control from the inside out, from your attitude out to your outside behaviors. Starts with your internal work and moves to the outside and attitude. All right. Stuck, it's actually not a diagnosis. It's a decision. I want you to hear that. That might make you mad. It's not a diagnosis. It's not you are stuck. It is a decision you made to be stuck. What it often means is I'm scared. It often means I'm not sure. It often means I'm not committed. So if I'm not sure, I'm scared, I'm not committed, and I'm not going to do anything, and because I don't do anything, nothing changes, and so we say I'm stuck. But the truth is it was a decision to stay scared, to not do anything, to not get committed. Now, I'm not saying life is without fear, although I have written a book called Walking Without Fear. And I have had some extraordinary experiences in my life that make me know I'm not afraid. I don't live with that feeling anymore. Now, that's maybe a bold claim, and you can read the book, Walking Without Fear, if you want. But I'm not suggesting that's the only place you can operate from, because it's not. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Fear is excitement without the breath. I mean, there's lots of conversation, false evidence appearing real, about fear to help us realize it is an opinion. It is a chemical reaction in our head to this uncertainty, right? So you don't have to stay afraid, just like you don't have to stay stuck. And you know what else we've done now? Partly because of the news and society and how we're socialized, but we have normalized powerlessness, because that's what we focus on mostly, externalities. And you know what? I can't change a law. I can't make somebody do something. I can't even make, you know, my spouse Joy. I wouldn't anyway. She's an angel and I live with an angel, so I'm blessed that way. I can't make her do anything. I wouldn't even if I could. And that was something that took me a long time to learn, because I used to think, well, if I had power to make everything like I wanted, it'd be great. No, it wouldn't. It would be a disaster. Because if everybody had that power, it'd be total and absolute and utter chaos. But I don't want to make anybody do anything. And here's why. When I lived with people, quote, making me do stuff when I was little and growing up, and then allowing as a doormat people to determine my life course because I thought I, quote, should do something. When I allowed that, I was miserable. I was unhappy. And you probably know that feeling. It's not fun. And so even if you sort of make somebody do something, it's done half-assed. It's done with fear. It's done with resentment. It doesn't last. So here's the thing. We have now normalized this feeling of powerlessness. I can't do anything about it. I had no choice. You hear that? Oh, yeah, it's just that's the way it is. That is all garbage. It's false. Even if I can't change the weather, I can choose to enjoy the rain. That happens to be raining the day as I'm recording this, and so that's a fun, you know, metaphor. But here's the truth. I can't change any of that. And I can choose to hate it or enjoy it. I can choose to ignore it. What I found to be the most useful is choose to make the most out of it. What a thought. Choose to make the most out of it. What is the gift here? Write that down. What is the gift here? That is an unshakable tool you can use in every circumstance. My first, well, most memorable use of it was in the and at back of an ambulance on the way to the hospital, paralyzed from the waist down. That story and the full details are in that book, Walking Without Fear. Went to the hospital, I had an operation, a miracle occurred, and I could walk again. But I learned to ask, what is the gift? And approach it with curiosity and an insistence on finding something. Not something fake or phony, but something real to be grateful for. Number one, I was healed. Number two, I had an experience with the divine in that ambulance that I wouldn't trade for anything. So that was a gift I wouldn't trade for the fear of not walking again or being paralyzed temporarily for, you know, a few days. So that was amazing. And your life is full of amazing stuff too. Not just me. I'm not special and I'm not magic, but I have made a determination never to be stuck, to take absolute sovereign control of my life. And I didn't used to do that. So I made the very journey I'm inviting you to make. I've walked that road. You are not stuck. You are uncommitted. You're not lost. You're undecided. Indecision is a cage that disappears the minute you move. Okay, overanalysis, fear of consequences, worrying about what others think, fear of failure, all those things are a cage. And they disappear, it disappears the minute you move. Even if you fail, even if you go a certain direction and people do laugh and it didn't turn out like you wanted, you can choose to just have that be a learning and not have it be an indictment of your character, because it's not, unless you let it be. So you are not stuck. You are choosing to stay stuck. I invite you with all my heart to look inside right now and identify some areas where you're choosing not to move, where you're choosing to stay where you are. Where have you normalized powerlessness? And the phrases are, there's nothing I can do. I'm just that way. That's how it is. It's out of my control. Those things are probably true. When you're talking about externalities, when you're talking about who you are, it's 100% false. I'm just disorganized. I'm always late. Those kinds of phrases are lies. They may be habits you've developed, but they're habits and they're yours and you can change them. They're habits and they're yours and they're under your command. Habits make great servants and terrible masters. So if you find yourself blaming either your habits, your personality, or others, things outside, you are choosing to be stuck. Now, you're free to stay there. But when you blame somebody else for being stuck, that's just not true. That's pablum you're eating. That's opium you're taking so you don't have to face the truth that you're choosing to stay stuck. All right, so let's move to the next thing. I want to go to the real causes. Now, what we've talked about so far is what it looks like. Learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, blaming everybody and everything else. Now, if you're happy stuck, if you're happy just where you're at and you don't really care, okay. I'm not trying to tell you you should do anything, but 99% of people that I talk to, and I talk to a lot of new people every week, in deep conversation, they have a yearning. And the yearning is, I wish I could, I want to have, I want to change this, I wish the situation was different, I wish I had more money, I wish I could find the perfect mate, I wish I was happier, I wish I wasn't sick. And they list a bunch of things that they wish they had, and almost always do it with a tonality that feels like helplessness, comma, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's never true. Never. Often you can take direct, consistent, motivated action to mitigate or change the circumstance, and at a minimum, you can immediately and always change the way you view a situation. That changes your neurochemistry, it changes your outlook, enhances your creativity, raises your intelligence, and increases the likelihood you can do something to make it change. All right, we're going to talk about the causes. Cause number one, a lack of seeking. Because we have learned to be anesthetized by binge-watching Netflix, and I'm not saying TV's bad, but by binge-watching that and numbing our minds, just sitting there, cruising along, blah, 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 there's another episode, oh, one more before I go to bed, right? And then you get up late the next morning, and then you're behind the day, and you're rushing to either work or wherever you have to go, kids or friends or wherever it is, but you're always behind. I'm always late. Oh, there's never enough time. You know the language. You use it. And if this is rattling your cage, good. Because like I said to start with, this is your invite. And you can tell me to go fly a kite, jump off a cliff, forget it. You're going to stay there. But it's not going to be because I didn't invite you. You are invited right here, right now, to take sovereign control of your life. So everybody wants comfort. Often we sacrifice clarity for comfort. It's a little hard, so I don't know. I ask people all the time, what would you like to have happen? Other than the usual, I'd like infinite money and infinite time, which is sort of a mindless, stupid answer. You can start there, but that's vacuous. What do you really want? They don't want to do the work to get clarity. Well, I don't really know. I haven't thought about it a lot. When I do, it's just kind of confusing. Well, that's just an invitation to get started. Clarity is power. When you're clear, you can take direct, consistent, motivated action. If you want to go to a certain place and you know right where the store is or the mountaintop or the friend's house, if you know right where it is, that clarity allows you to move in the right direction without making a bunch of mistakes. You know that. If you only have a vague idea where something is or where you're trying to go, you know, that gets weird, right? You waste a lot of time. Fortunately, we have GPS. What is your soul GPS? I'll tell you what it is. It is absolute clarity about who you are. You know what the good news is? You don't got to find that. You don't got to get an Amazon box. You don't got to get an angel dancing on your desk to tell you who you are. You get to choose. Now, what I've discovered is it's mostly our life experience that gives us the framework from which to choose. Almost everyone that I interview as a guest, either on this show or on my podcast, when I ask them about why they do what they do, it's almost without fail, well, this and this and this and this happened to me. I discovered this and this and this, and so I really wanted to help people. In other words, the events of life told them what to do. Woke up a desire in them to do a certain thing. And so you know what that feels like. I'm never going to let that happen again. Often people will start businesses, create products and services, write books. I know a lady who went to a law school in her late 40s, early 50s, and she went diligently, passed the bar, opened a law practice specifically aimed at what? Helping men in custody and family law, custody disputes. Why? Because her son had been unjustly handled, in her opinion. I don't know the details of the case, but significantly poorly handled, prejudiced against, all that stuff by the system. And so she said, I'm going to fix that. So her passion, which she pursued, law school, graduation, bar exam, set up a practice, you know, came out of her experience. So if you want to find out who you are, mine your life experience. Get clarity. Clarity will reveal the world to you. It will reveal the world to you, and it is so exciting. You don't discover your divine purpose by binging Netflix and scrolling, right? Seek and ye shall find. Seek is an interesting word. It doesn't mean casually look for. Joy and I are getting ready to go somewhere, and I have a suitcase. And the suitcase is neat, and it comes with a suitcase, a hard shell case, and a little backpacky thing that fits right on top, slides over the handle. And the backpacky thing has a little envelope kind of thing on it, travel pouch kind of thing for passports and wallet and that sort of stuff. And she had taken the little pouch that came with mine off and used it for something. And then I hadn't worried about it. And so she didn't give it back to me right away. And so I wanted it now that we're getting ready to go somewhere. And she couldn't find it. So guess what? She started seeking. She went into her closet. And, we have a big closet. And there's lots of bags and boxes and shelves and things in there. And so she started to seek. And guess what? She found it when I woke up this morning, sitting on top of the dresser. So seek and ye shall find. And that's just a funny story. But here's the thing. You won't get direction without devotion. My relationship with the divine, as yours, will come when we spend time. If you want to have a good relationship with your spouse or with a friend or with clients, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. If what you're seeking is truth, you have to look. You have to keep looking. If you want purpose in your life, you have to go create it. If you want to get unstuck, you have to stay committed to movement, and you might have to try several things. So lack of seeking is the first real problem. You don't get clarity or direction without that devotion, and you don't hear the whisper of God while you're shouting excuses. Now, I don't know why, but the spirit or intuition or whatever you want to call it seems to whisper. Once in a while, there's a big thunderstorm, but most of the time, it's a whisper, and we got to be paying attention. The second cause, besides lack of seeking, is a lack of commitment. You know, when you date someone, you know, you can date this person and that person, and you know, there's people lack fear of commitment. Well, they don't want to get serious because, you know, they usually have an internal list, and maybe they say it and maybe they don't. A fear of commitment, a fear of being tied down, a fear of failure, a fear of being found out. A lot of people don't want to get serious in a relationship because they're scared of what the partner, potential partner, will find out about them. They won't like me. Oh, wow. They won't like you. Well, maybe they won't. And hiding and pretending it away isn't going to change anything. Lack of commitment is a huge, huge reason why we stay stuck. So we idly say, ah, I wish I wasn't stuck, or I wish I wasn't forever in this job, or I wish I could get out of this situation, barely having enough money, not quite making ends meet, not being able to do this, and I sure wish I could. And what we're really saying is we want somebody to come and rescue us. Well, nobody's coming. Here's the hard truth. No one is coming. You are your own hero. You are your own savior. Not speaking in the metaphorical sense of somebody saving the world. We already had a savior, and it wasn't me or you. But nobody's coming. Nobody's coming to rescue. There's no cavalry. You and I, we gotta do for ourselves. Nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes you anything. So this is a choice. And commitment can be a scary word, especially if you're not used to it. Because commitment is way different from intention. Well, I intend to do that. I'm good. And often we make promises like that. I'm going to do that. I swear I'm going to do it. And really, that's a strong intention. A commitment is burning the boats. Now, you all know the story of some conquistador who was, you know, I don't remember if it was South America, Central America, Mexico, but some Spanish conquistador landed, and they were determined to, you know, make some inroads or take over one of the kingdoms, Aztecs, I think. And so Cortez, I think it was, his men were scared, and he went and burned the boats. There was no way back. There was only forward. What boats do you need to burn? What boats do you need to burn? And the answer to that's really easy to find if you just consider the question, how bad do you want whatever you want? Where are you stuck right now? Is it money? Is it happiness? Is it commitment? Is it relationships? Like, where are you stuck and making excuses? For me, a good question is, how bad, Kellen? How bad do you want that? And I don't answer right away. It's funny when I have coaching clients and even prospects will be talking about something, and they'll explain what they want and why they're looking for help to get somewhere. And I'll ask them inevitably, how bad do you want that? And not always, but often the answer comes back, oh, I'd do anything to have that. Ooh, yeah. And so we start exploring the things that are required. Well, then let's start with this, this, and this. And almost always, not always, but many times they'll say, oh man, I didn't know I had to do that. In other words, we want it to be easy, you know, easy button, easy without too much frustration, complication. And that is then the level of success. A mediocre, half-baked, half-assed little hill instead of a mountaintop. You want a mountaintop, you got to get the gear, you got to strap in for the ride. Your commitment has to be ironclad. Commitment means I'm going to do whatever I have to make that real. Period. I'm doing whatever I have to make that real. Even if I don't know what it is yet, I'm choosing right now to climb over whatever. The closest thing we have to that in humankind is when we make marriage vows. We say, for better, worse, richer, poorer, sickness and in health. That is an effort to say, despite the fact that we don't know what's coming, we're committed. Where are you committed to anything? If you can't name things and the commitment doesn't burn like fire in your heart, that's why I use this picture here with the fire on the side. You know me and the phoenix. I love them. I am one. If you can't name and feel powerfully in your heart those things you're committed to, you're in trouble. So the third and last cause I want to talk about today is lack of action. And that goes hand in hand with commitment, because when you have bulletproof commitment, you identify and start taking direct, consistent, motivated action. And the reason I put those qualifiers on there is often what I'm doing, especially if I'm working with someone who owns a business, wants more money, or with a coach that's looking for clients or something like that, we outline the things they could do, where to go prospect, where to talk to people, where to find leads. We do that. And then, you know, the fear sets in. Oh, I can't. I'm afraid of that. And so what they do is they bury themselves in stupid action, redesigning logos and websites and creating content and posting endlessly on social media and then getting pissed off or sad because somebody else's feed looks like they're better than you are or whatever, whatever. That isn't action. That's fake behavior, busyness to take up your time. So here's a challenge. Where are you using substitutions for action? Where are you pretending you're acting and not doing things? I know people who spend a lot of time getting ready. There was a saying about stringing and restringing your bow and never singing the song you came to sing. Some people do that, especially in the coaching or healing realm, by continually pursuing spiritual enlightenment, growth, another book, another seminar, another guru, and that all substitutes for real action, direct action. Direct action is action that you believe will create the outcome you want. You look at it and it says that will create that. Okay? So there's a thought. Direct, consistent, meaning every day, every time, just keep going. Keep going. Motivated means you've got your heart and soul in it. So direct, consistent, motivated action. Momentum is like a fireproof jacket. Once you're rolling, momentum can keep you going. Momentum is the accumulation of the energy you've put in something. Getting started is sometimes hard. Inertia, right? You got to get the rock rolling. And often we yearn for change, we talk about change, maybe we pray for change, and at the same time we're defending the habits, the attitudes, and the comfort that is preventing the change. Action's not a step, it's a sword that slays the beast someday. That's a fatal infection. So now that we've talked about what this stuckness is, and we've talked about causes, said in the beginning, we're going to burn it down. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the ways to burn it down. Now, here's the good thing. You can start where you are. You don't have to be halfway up the mountain. You can be in your tent at the base camp. You can be in your car just driving around the mountain looking for a place to start. You can be at home watching a National Geographic or History Channel documentary about the mountain you want to climb. I don't care where you're at. Start there. Start there. Step one is going to surprise you. Step one is to practice self-love. That's not self-indulgence. That's not permission to be mediocre. Self-love is honoring the divine being you are. If you remembered and owned the truth that you're a divine being created with intention, with gifts, with purpose, if you own that and honor it, that's motivating. Remembering that you actually are a divine being. You know that there's a spirit in you that came somewhere, and however you frame up the eternities, I don't care. We all know that there's something, a higher, more organized, a unity, non-duality, God, the universe. Let's not get stuck on the language. The feeling is real. You've had it. You know it. And it will motivate you if you let it. But if you call yourself names, if you're negative about yourself, if you continue in self-loathing, and that's something I had decades of experience with, because I was always angry or shameful or fearful about something I had or hadn't done. Angry at myself for failing. Shameful because somebody, you know, shameful because how dare I do something like that. And fearful because I was worried somebody would know and embarrass me or call me out or tell everybody else or some nonsense, right? You probably know that feeling. So learning to love yourself, and that means as you are where you are, as you are where you are. Now, if there are things about yourself that you don't want people to know, fix them. If there are things about yourself that you do that you are embarrassing, then fix it. Help to do that is available everywhere. And this is just the courage to not stay stuck. That's just how I am. I've tried and it failed. Try again. Try until you win. Edison and, you know, 10,000 tries for the light bulb. Try until you win or choose to stay stuck. I mean, that's your call. But like I said, today's your invitation. So learning to love yourself. Fiercely, furiously, gently, tenderly, with kindness, with compassion, with forgiveness. Kindness and forgiveness and compassion doesn't mean, oh, it's just the way I am, making excuses and brushing off everything that is the opposite of who you want to be. If you have a yearning, love yourself enough to do it. Honor yourself enough to pursue it. Treasure your soul enough to be a seeker and go get it. The next piece after self-love is ownership. Like you own your life. You're the sovereign, pure, only owner. Nobody else owns it. You may have given up control. You may allow your self-worth to be defined by the worship or the vitriol of others. Or the fear of the vitriol. You don't want to, quote, put yourself out there because people won't like you. Maybe they won't. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything about you. If I say to you, I don't like spaghetti, it doesn't say anything about the spaghetti. It says, I don't like spaghetti. So if someone says to you, I don't like you, that's not an indictment. You're not required to have them like you. And if you live in a place where you think your only worth is people liking you, that's another stuck place. And you can get out of that one too. I don't like you is just a statement about them. They'd say they don't like spaghetti or you or full moon or rock and roll. That is a statement about them. What other people think of you is none of your business. Okay? Now, here's the cool thing. You're responsible for how you look or feel or think about anything. You can think saving the whales is good. You can think it's bad. You can think climate change is an existential threat, or you cannot. You can think you're really valuable, or you can think you're stupid. But any of those beliefs are yours. You own them. You can change them if you want to. It might take a little research. It might take a little help. I needed a lot of help to change my beliefs. And one of the first ones was that idea that I'm actually responsible for everything. That was hard for me because I loved blaming them, that stuff that happened to me in the past, this trauma, that trauma, blah, blah, blah. And when I finally chose to take ownership, I get this wheel. Then I got fierce and grabbed it. This is my freaking wheel. I'm going to create my life. You're free to do that today. You're free to get the help you want today. You're free to go be a seeker. You're free to access the tools and power you need. There's a tool that I have called 5 Steps to Your Ultimate Life. 5 Steps to Your Ultimate Life. You want those, you can have them. Okay, www.kellenflukiger.com, my website. Or yourultimatelife.ca. Go there, yourultimatelife.ca. You can have the five steps to your ultimate life, and they're battle-tested. I use them, and I live the ultimate life. I'm happy every day, and I love it. I have plenty of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And it's fabulous, and I'm not magic, and it doesn't belong to me. Okay, so here's the good news. If you're responsible for everything, or I'm responsible for everything, that's good news, because then I can change anything I want. If I'm responsible for everything in my life, not what I see and feel, not what other people do, then I can change everything. Well, that means I'm absolutely sovereign. Ownership isn't blame, it's agency. You owning your life simply means you have agency to think what you want, to feel what you want, to create in you what you want. And that's power. That is awesome power. So this is your invitation to take control. You know, there was a time when I grabbed that wheel, a moment of holy rage, as it were, because I was done giving control to old stories, old beliefs, things I'd been told, what they said you shouldn't do. I was so finished with that control that I'd given up over my life. And, you know, what was funny is I did spend some time, not weeks, but a couple of days, a little bit frustrated with myself, or even a lot, raging, that I had given away my power of creation for so long. I gave away my power to create my life to others, to ideas, to thoughts, to what I was supposed to do. I gave it away and gave it away and gave it away until that moment of holy rage when I said, I'm done. This is mine. I'm going to create it. Because otherwise, all I'm going to have when I leave is what I thought others wanted me to do. And man, that's nothing. You know, we come into this life with nothing, right? And we're going to leave with nothing. And the only difference is going to be what we've made out of ourselves. And if what I've made out of myself is a doormat, in an angry way, doing whatever I thought I was supposed to do and not being happy about it, how often do you do what you think you're supposed to do? When you do it, it's not satisfied. It's not satisfying. You don't get recognized, and sometimes you say, well, what's the point? Why did I bother? Well, you're giving your power away. It's time you take control, and that doesn't mean saying no when people ask for things. And that doesn't mean everything you've been taught's wrong. It means you think it through, you decide, and if you decide to serve someone, serve with all your heart, love them, and expect nothing. Because you can. Because you said so. Because you choose it. This is a call to rise up and take that ownership that you've been giving away to learned helplessness, to the economy, to your circumstances, to your parents, to whoever came before, to generational trauma, to whatever that is. Stop giving away your life. You are a diamond, but no one's going to polish you except you. All the resources you need, all the help you need, or I need, are available. There are those, like me and others, who have walked this road and who are turning around, building a bridge, and offering help. So if there's something I can do for you, get a hold of me. You see, I'm easy to find on social, and then this URL right here, over here on this side, KellenFlukigerMedia.com. That there's a contact form there. Go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com and let's talk. You don't need to stay stuck unless you want to. But this is your invitation. This is your wake-up call. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk to you about is some exercise, some actual rubber meets the road thing. You don't need permission to change. You don't need anyone's agreement. You need to decide to take that sovereignty and flipping own it right here, right now. Ownership is the ultimate accelerator. I don't know if you've rented a house or owned one or both. When you are renting a house, you know, if you want to change something and they're like, is it okay with the landlord? If I change, put a bunch of money in it or change something, I can't take it with me. I don't know. But when you own it, it's yours. You get to decide. Life is like that. So grab a pen. And if you're driving, grab a conceptual pen and write these things down here right now. What are you pretending not to know? Or what you need to write down is, what am I pretending not to know. That might be, I'm pretending not to know how to get help. I'm pretending not to know I have this yearning for more. I'm pretending that I'm not frustrated with how I've behaved. I'm pretending that I'm not giving away my power. I'm pretending that I have no choice. I'm pretending that it's everybody else's fault. I'm pretending the pity party for me. What am I pretending not to know? What am I pretending not to know? Now, if you tell lies, that question won't do you any good. But if you tell the truth, it can change your life dramatically and immediately. Now, with any growth, like you don't plant an acorn and have a great big oak tree tomorrow. It takes some time. You need to get new habits and put them in place, and then they need to, you know, create their result. But the starting is today, and here's what does come immediately. Even if I want a big oak tree, I want $1 million in the bank. It doesn't usually happen overnight. It's like an acorn doesn't grow into an oak. But you know what does change overnight? Your happiness. When you take fierce ownership and you are taking direct and consistent motivated action and you know it, you're happy. You're exercising control. This life is mine. I got the wheel. Out of the way. And that doesn't mean being rude or ignoring responsibilities or anything like that. It just means, in fact, you feel them better. I own these responsibilities. I love them. I'm leaning in. I'm doing the very, very best. I'm radically excellent at everything that I do. Why? Because I said so. Wow, I said so. You can choose to be radically excellent. It's not out of your grasp, right? That's a fabulous choice. So I'm inviting you to consider that. What am I pretending not to know? Question number two, where am I refusing to choose? Where am I refusing? Commitment. Maybe it's a commitment to lose weight. You know, you make a secret commitment, but you don't empty your fridge. You don't tell everybody at work. You don't post it on social. You don't enroll in a program, and there's millions of them, a gym and Noom and Yo Mama Production. There's tons of ways to do it, but you don't really do that. Or if you do it, it's half-assed. Where are you refusing to lay it all on the line? Identify those places, and then you get to choose whether or not you do anything about them. And I'm not trying to tell you you have to change, but I'm telling you, if you're stuck in this mediocrity and you're in this rut and you're blaming everything, it's on you. And you have the power to fix that right here, right now. And even if results take some time, the joy of choosing and of taking right action is indescribable. And it's also motivation enough to keep going. Everything that's worth building takes a little time, from 5 minutes to 5 years, whatever it is. But the 5 years are passing either way. So 5 months from now or a year from now, you can be the same person bitching at the same stuff. Or you can be completely different. Yeah, it took a whole 6 months or a year of work. But I have it, and I have it forever. I own this. So the fact that it takes some time to do, so what? So does everything worthwhile. So question number two, where am I refusing to choose? And I'm using that as a dithering thing. I'm using it to procrastinate. I'm using it to blame. All that stuff. You know the feeling and you know what I'm talking about. Third question. What truth am I afraid to say out loud? What truth am I afraid to say out loud? Maybe you have an internal story that you're not good enough. Maybe you have an internal story that says, you know, you suck, or that you'll never make it, or that you'll just never quite get the prize, or, you know, that people don't like you or whatever. What truth are you afraid to say out loud? Now, if any of those or all of those questions hurt you, hurt your feelings, what am I pretending not to do? What am I refusing to choose? And what truth am I afraid to say out loud? Get some help. Don't sit around and be angry and frustrated and default, I'll never change. Let's talk. Again, Kellen Flukiger Media, get the contact form. Go see a counselor. Talk to somebody. Express the truth. My greatest growth came when I got, when I was dealing with depression, some professional counseling, and then I got professional coaching. Good, challenging, powerful coaches who had walked the road, had the scars, and were on the other side. I am that. I have walked the road. I have the scars. And today, I live that ultimate life, the one I talk about every single week, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. I love every day, every minute. It's so exciting. And I have created this by taking, you know, that direct, consistent, motivated action. I've written all these books about it, courses and programs. They're real. They're battle tested. I use them every day. And I'm sharing them with you. Why? Because I love you. I see your divine nature. I see your gift. I also see the struggle. I see the stories. I see the places you're pretending not to know and the places you refuse to choose and my heartaches. So these things are here for you. It's why I do them. It is my motivation. So here's some truths I want you to take home with you. And I want you to just let them sink in you. You're not broken. Okay? You might be unrefined. And this whole work is a mountain without a top, so we're all unrefined. But you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. You're right. You're okay. You are where you are. Whatever's happened in the past has happened. You know, whatever brokenness you may have can be mended. Whatever damage has been done to you can be healed. You are not broken. You might be buried and you might be unrefined, but you're not broken. Your worth is infinite. Your stuckness is not a sentence. It's an invitation. So if you notice this and this has resonated with you, let's talk or find the help you need to get moving. And I say find the help because it's so easy to make excuses in our own mind, right? We churn stuff around, then we sink back into nothing. I'm inviting you to choose your becoming. Name and speak the truth of your becoming. The door is open. The fire is lit. The time is now. Like you are receiving an invitation from me, and there's nothing special about me except I'm somebody that's walked the road. I'm somebody that's talked to thousands of people who hurt, who believe the bad stories about themselves, who think their opportunity is over, they're not that valuable, and it won't matter that much if they try hard anyway because they'll always fail. All that stuff is normal, and it's not true. We only die when we quit trying. We only fail when we quit trying. You were made right now for this moment. That's why you're here. Not to cope with it, but to create with it. You're not here just to cope with the struggles. You're here to build beauty, purpose, prosperity, and joy. This is your invitation. You can ignore me or you can step into the fire. I needed help. Get the help you need. The books, the programs, the people. Counselors, priests, coaches, whatever it is, but connect with these truths. So here's the final thing. Stuck is a choice. You're not there permanently, even if you're there now. I don't care. Seek with determination, commitment, and fire. Don't give up. Don't, you know, if my wife started looking for that thing last night and she looked for an hour and I went to bed. And, you know, if she'd quit then, I'll never find it. She wouldn't have. But that's not joy. I told you, she's an angel. And when she's going to do something, she's doing it. When I got up this morning, it was crap all over the place. But guess what? That little thing was on the desk. Seek with fire. Commit fully and completely. Commit with the passion. Commit with blood. And, you know, just commit with your whole soul. And act with fierceness, ownership, fury. I don't mean anger toward anybody, but you know that. You own your life, so take it. Now, here's my plea with you. Don't just listen to me say all this stuff and nod. Don't sit there and say, oh, I wish I could do that. Because then tomorrow, next week, next year, next decade, you'll still be there. Instead, let's pick one or two things that have come to you, especially when I ask you those questions. What are you pretending not to know? What are you refusing to choose? And what truth are you afraid to say out loud? So pick something. One or two things that you know you want to change, either grow or get rid of or adjust, and set out to get it done. Set it on fire with your commitment and your decision. I have walked this path. That's how I know it's possible. The place I started was sad, broken, you know, having been with addictions and suicide attempts and the whole story. And if you're interested in that story, it's in a book, Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. So if I can start there and get to where I live this ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, I had to get tons of help. The one thing I had was I won't give up. I'm not giving up. Not stopping. I'm going to try again, keep going. And I got there. So here is your invitation right now. Choose something you've been avoiding. Set it on fire with fierce commitment and determination, and use that passion and energy right here, right now, today, and create with all of your heart your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.